concerned, we've been working with myself and our staff, we've been working with the governor for the last year or two. So when we got I made up my mind a year ago that, in my opinion, he was the best candidate for the post. That's that. It's no big thing. I mean, everybody blew it up to be a big thing, especially when under the last administration, everybody in Alabama, you can check the record of all counties, hadn't been getting in the industry or anything of that sort. And I went to the man and said, "Hey, man, I want you to be fair to my town, just like everybody else." And that's what we've gotten. You know, you don't worry about what politicians say. You worry about be more concerned about what they do, what they act, what they deliver. And so it's just two examples, So you can call it whatever you like, or surmise into whatever you like.
You talked about, you said that you basically accept the philosophy of Booker T. Washington. How do you express that philosophy? How do you characterize it?
Well, I think, Booker T. Washington was known as an Uncle Tom from the standpoint of he wasn't very militant. He believed in working within the system. He believed in winning concessions for his community. He was production-oriented. He didn't preach violence, a hatred, a bigotry. He didn't preach racism. He encouraged a good working relationship between all mankind. His philosophy was, cast down your buckets where you are. And he said to white people in the South, don't look to the North and for outside resources to be to save you and invest all of your resources. He said to black people in the South, don't run to the North and the East and look to the North for your salvation. He said to both races, cast down your buckets where you are. Let's work together and try to build a new South, a land for all of our people to live in. And I think that basically my philosophy is that there's some good in every man, and I try to look at it from a positive standpoint. There are a lot of shortcomings that people have, but I think that there are also a lot of good in all people. And I think that I just believe and have faith in human nature, that people in this country can solve their problems. I think that they can be solved around the table. I think they can be solved man to man, people looking one another in the eye and dealing with them head on. Booker T. Washington's philosophy was to reach out and to work with and to try to help your fellow man. That's really what we're trying to do here in Tuskegee, to carry on that concept which he started so many years ago of reaching out and trying to get resources in here to combine them with outside resources, with local resources, to develop our town into the kind of a community where that we can all be proud of, and the kind of a town that can solve its problems. Solving problems is more or less what we're dedicated to here. That's what we're trying to do.
Growing up in Tuskegee, did you become, was in the process, was that becoming familiar with Booker T. Washington and his philosophy, or did that come later when you were at college?
Well, I grew up here.
I know you
school,
did.
Here, so
you went to school, the school at the Institute?
No, I went to college in Knoxville. College.
I know, but the public schools here, was there an affiliation with
Tuskegee
Institute?
High School, right. But I guess, I was a youngster, I don't guess I really realized what Booker T. Washington was talking about too much later, really, I guess. But I mean, all of the men had some good concepts. Booker T. Washington, Marcus Garvey, Du Bois, all of them had some.
So where did you study about that? Was that at college or later in New York or where?
I was in college mostly, I guess.
You went to college where? Fisk?
Knoxville College, Knoxville, Tennessee. But, black history is studied in college.
What was your major?
Political science and history. I really was planning to go into law, but when I finished college, I didn't have any money, so I went to New York. But anyway, I don't know. I think he has a good philosophy. Malcolm X has some good points. Elijah Muhammad has some good points. A lot of great leaders. Of course, my greatest inspiration, I think, was Dr. Martin Luther King, his philosophy of nonviolence and believing and fighting for justice and equality through a nonviolence effort. I think was very, very moving and inspirational leadership, not only for me, but a lot of black people in this country, whites as well, I think. But anyway, there it is.
Are there any recognizable statewide black political leaders?
In Alabama. Oh yeah, man, we are blessed. We have Thomas Reed here, who is our black state legislator. And of course, you have A.J. Cooper, the mayor of Pritchett, Alabama. We have 8 mayors who are black in the state of Alabama. Of course, Dr. John Cashin, who is chairman of the National Democratic Party of Alabama. He's not an elected official, but he's head of NDPA.
Are they still a viable force?
Huh?
Are they still a viable force?
Well, in Greene County and some, it provides us with an out. For example, if we can't win the Democratic nomination, then you can always get on the NDPA. It has been very effective in that particular vein. And of course, the successes they won in Greene County. Yeah, I'd say they still are a viable force. And then, of course, Joe Reed, chairman of the Alabama Democratic Conference. Here again, he's not an elected official, but he has quite a bit of political clout in the state. So I think that that Alabama has its share of student black politicians. I think we compare favorable with other states.
Is there any active Association of Black Elected Officials in Alabama?
Yes, we have. There is an association of the black elected officials in Alabama, of which Thomas Reed from Tuskegee is the president. And we also have the Alabama Conference of Black Mayors. The 8 of us have formed a conference which I co-chair. And the purpose of that is to, of our conference, to work together as mayors on common problems facing our communities, to try to get additional federal and state resources to deal with other problems that we may have. This Alabama Conference of Black Mayors is instrumental in setting up a Southern Conference of Black Mayors, which consists of some 50, well, it's about 60 black mayors now throughout the South. So those are the basic, and of course, the Alabama League of Municipalities, which is, which is affiliated with the National League of Cities and U.S. Conference of Mayors. I serve on the Executive Committee of the Alabama League of Municipalities, which, of course, is made up of mayors and city councilmen from over 350 municipalities in the state, and that is probably the state's most powerful elected officials.
Do you anticipate there'll be a growing role of the Black Elected Officials Association?
The association,
particularly when you're getting, the number of legislators of increasing, what, from 3 to 15?
Yeah, most definitely. Say, because, you know, we as black elected officials, we have common problems. We're so new at this business of being elected officials. We, you know, so we have to come together and share our problems and try to learn from each other so that when we go out and compete with the white boys, we can kind of have our stuff together. But I think that these associations have great. I don't foresee the purpose of the associations being, racist group or anything of this sort. That's not the purpose of. As I see it, the purpose is, as I indicated, since we're so new at this business, to really come together and learn from each other. Yeah, I think the association will grow. And then, of course, you know, within, we have the National Black Local Elected Officials, which in essence is the caucus, the black caucus within the National League of Cities and U.S. Conference of Mayors. And of course, in Alabama, we have a black caucus within the Alabama League of Municipalities, all the black mayors and city councilmen.
You must have had a set of perceptions of how it would be to work with whites mm-hmm. in government when you came into this job. Did it work out the way you thought?
At what level?
Well, right. Both with the council as well as with the white voters.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I grew up in the South in a segregated society, per se. And then, you know, I went away to college and was in a grade school and then finally to New York and worked there for about 5 years. So you've learned that you can work with everybody. You know, I mean, some people still feel that folks, you know, can't work together, blacks or whites. You know, make it difficult. Everybody can work together. There's no problem. So I working in New York City, that provides, started out working in Harlem, from there to Bedford-Stuyvesant, from there to South Bronx, Spanish-speaking element, there Queens, and then finally in Midtown Manhattan, the Wall Street District, so it gave you a varied working experience. And then, of course, working when I came back here as Model City Director, the Model City Director, the previous mayor, no reflection on him, he was, not a learned man, which is, you don't have to be a learned man, but I mean, because of that, he did not have the outgoing personality or anything, and the Model City's Director, the position that I had previously was one that did, most of the stuff for the city, really, and that was an experience. And then, of course, working for the federal government, that was a real key experience for me, going inside of federal government. That was one of the, I decided about 5 or 6 years ago that I wanted to run for mayor of the city. That's what I came back home to do specifically. So first I worked in city government to kind of get these plans and these things approved. And then secondly, I went into politics. Then I went into the federal government to find out how it worked, where the money was, and who controlled various resources, and how the system worked. And then with that experience behind, working at all levels of government, the state government, federal government, then I came back to run for mayor. Kind of gave me some perception, I'd say.
What kind of a governor do you think Alabama would elect after Wallace leave the scene, say to run for the Senate or whatever else he might do that leave the scene?
What kind of, who's the governor? Well, it's probably between Jerry Beasley and Bill Baxby. Two young, progressive, they're pretty progressive young fellows, very sharp, know politics quite well. I think it would have a young, progressive governor. I think Alabama, what you're having, the South is changing. Everybody asks the question, is Wallace changing? What the hell, the whole South is changing. Attitudes in general are changing. Black folks are changing, white folks are changing.
How are black folks changing?
10 years, easy, man. 10 years ago, hell, I was probably a black racist. You know, my folks taught me that all white folks were devils. You know, man, my dad said, man, you can't trust the, well, I won't call it. You can't trust a white person as far as you can see. You know, that kind of ideology. And black people for so long have been mistreated by white folks. And you know, you know that's segregation and bigotry. 10 years ago, man, you know, there was hatred among blacks just like there was hatred among whites. But now I think some of this is breaking down. A lot of it is breaking down, as a matter of fact. I think that people now are beginning more and more to accept people as human beings based upon their character rather than the color of their skin. I think that's good. I think so it's been a tremendous educational process on behalf of blacks and whites. I think of course there are some blacks who are just now becoming proud of what they are and being proud of their heritage. I think we as a people should always have been proud of our heritage and what we are, though it's been a very humble one. I think we'll be proud of that. But some of our people are using the awareness thing to get into a racist bag, a racism inversion bag. I think that's kind of unfortunate. We have fought so much for equal opportunities and equality in society. It'd be real tragic to try to get back into separatism and to discrimination again. I don't think that's my opinion. But I think that black people have changed. I think that many of our people are coming around. Just like some black people, not many of them, some of them voted for white candidates, some of them voted even for Wallace this time. Also, you say you had some white folks vote for black candidates. I think that's significant. In the last election, you had more blacks voting than ever before for white candidates, and more whites, in my opinion, voting for black candidates. So it's changing. There's no, but it's got a long ways to go. I mean, you know, I'm not here saying that everything is pie in the sky. We still got a long ways to go. And I think that the South is much further ahead of the North because traditionally the races, by even if it's just been because of geography, they have been closer. There has been a close proximity between the two races in the South over a long period of years than there has been in the North. Though it's been on a paternalistic kind of thing, or a slave master kind of thing, nevertheless there has been a physical closeness and association. And wherever there has been a closeness or association, that gives you something to build on. Whereas in the North, everything is just a melting pot, you know, where everybody is migrated in. And, you know, the black folks, at night, they go back to Harlem and the Bedford-Stuyvesant, and the white folks, they go to Long Island, Queens. So I think in the South, we're going to demonstrate first to ourselves and then to this nation that the South is the new frontier in this country. We're going to demonstrate to them because I feel that the South is going to rise again. And this time when it rises, it's going to be a whole new ball game. And blacks and whites are going to be on an equal basis this time. And that's all we talk about, equality and justice.
All right, the old talk of being a populist coalition is being revived. Poor blacks and poor whites getting together on political issues. Do you see that coming?
I think you will see more and more of it coming, because I think as I was talking, you know, when you were talking about unity, you know, like man unifying and all blacks unifying and being hungry is for a bird. Just like, so I think that what we're going to see more and more is that people are going to begin to unify around issues. There are issues which affect poor blacks and whites, such as jobs and hunger and poverty, then I think more and more we're going to see that kind of thing. I think that in the next election, for example, I think the voters are waking up. I think you'll see voters responding more and more to issues. I think that, yes, I think we will begin to see more and more of that. Because especially, that's why you're seeing, you know, that's really why you're seeing black folks vote for whites and whites vote for black nowadays, because they're voting for candidates who are talking about issues which affect, you know, that they're both interested in. And so what happens is the people become more concerned about the issue rather than the color of somebody's skin. And so I think more and more you're going to see that kind of thing.
Are there any black Republicans in Alabama to speak of?
I don't know. A few. I think we got a few in town. Not many. There are some. Not many black Republicans. There aren't many. For example, Macon County, you know, to give you an example of, and it goes back to my pragmatic politics again, Macon County was the only county in Alabama that went Democrat, you know, during the re-election, that didn't support the president. You know, just like everybody makes such a damn fuss about supporting the administration, hell, the damn whole country supported the administration, you know. Most people sneak down to the polls and voted for him, you know. My problem is my position is that I'm just open, man. I just, you know, tell it like it is. I don't, I got nothing to hide, man. If I vote for somebody, I vote for them. If I'm support them, I support them. If I'm not, I'm not.
What does a mayor's salary in Tuskegee?
1650, something like that. Not enough, but we can make it. I work in my wife works at social work in the school system. She makes about $9,000 to $10,000, something like that. So we able to keep our, you know, head above the water in this inflation time. But no, wait a minute. This, the mayor's salary is 12, and the superintendent's salary is about 5, I guess, 4 or 5. So it's, I don't know.
So it's, I think it's combined.
Yeah.
You think you're running for any other office when you're finished with being mayor?
I don't know. I've, you know, there, at this particular point, I just want to be a good mayor. We've got 2 more years to go in this term, and I'm probably run for re-election, because there's still probably some things that we want to get completed. See, our airport will be on the way, our industrial park completed, Tuskegee Institute will be a national historical site, develop the lake into a recreational, build a new city hall, get these industries underway. One of the projects we're working on now is I can tell y'all now, I guess, because by the time your book comes out, it'll be either one way or the other, but we're working on a $200 million oil refinery that develops. And everybody would want to know why I supported Governor Wallace. That really show up. But, you know, there are several projects that we're still working on that I'd like to see become a reality before I retire from politics. I don't anticipate having a long political career. You know,
How long before you see a statewide black elected official in Alabama?
Oh, next go round, next 76.
76.
Wait a minute.
78.
When is it?
78.
Yeah, 78, I guess, is when we go again. This is 74. Yeah, 78. Next go round. So we'll have somebody going for lieutenant governor. Well, let me just say this. I see a person being elected to a statewide office who's well qualified, who can relate to all segments of this state, and who happens to be black. That's the kind of candidate he's going to have to be. The kind of candidate who happens to be black, but who can get biracial support, is going to have to be that kind of candidate.
And you think by 1978, Alabama, enough white Alabamians to vote for a black who's qualified and has all sorts of qualifications, but despite his being black, he get elected statewide?
Yeah.
What sort of office? Secretary of State, Auditor?
Well, you got several, you know, you got Attorney General, you got Lieutenant Governor, you got, you know, you got all kinds of statewide offices, the Treasurer's, Auditor, Public Service Commission. I don't see the problem. Yeah. No problem at all. As a matter of fact, Alabama is going to be a real leader in the South and his nation. I got a lot of confidence in Alabama.
What would the Republicans have to do to get some black support in Alabama?
What would the Republicans have to do?
Right. Yeah. Alabama Republicans.
Oh. Alabama Republicans. Well, they got, you know, like I said, Macon County is the only county that didn't go Republican last go round. And see, you know, you can be as naive as you want to. So that's even more important why it was important for somebody to have a relationship with this administration. You know, I'm not naive, not saying that was a real factor, but I think that it just makes sense sometimes. But what I'm saying is that, hell, the Republicans got a lot of support the last time go around. A lot of black folks supported the administration. Like I said, Macon County, there are 6 or 7 counties, and hell, I guess about 10 or 15 of them are majority black counties. So, Republicans, you know, a lot of folks didn't go for the government. A lot of black folks didn't. Some of them did, but a lot of them didn't. So I don't know what they'll have to do. I think, you know, I'm a strong believer in the two-party concept. Floyd McKissick, who is Republican, and myself, who's a Democrat, we had a national organization called the National Committee for a Two-Party System in this country, which has chapters in several states throughout the nation. And the purpose of the National Committee for a Two-Party System is to serve as an organization which brings together black Democrats and black Republicans who can work together on common problems facing black people and poor people in this country. Otherwise, this organization provides a mechanism where we can come together and deal with common things. We kind of put aside our party affiliation for the moment. And the concept here is that under a Republican administration, then black Democrats work through those black Republicans who have a rapport with a Republican administration. Now, 2 years from now, the two-party system feels that if Democrats are in power, then the black Republicans have to turn around and work through those black Democrats who have a rapport with the Democratic administration. In other words, we must always have a mechanism whereby blacks can have a working relationship with the administration, whether it's Democratic or Republican, because we have to look out for black people first as black people, regardless of whether you're Republican or Democrat. So,
the Alabama Democratic Conference was organized at the time, it's a relatively old organization in terms of contemporary politics. It was organized at a time when there were no elected black officials in Alabama, certainly only a handful, if any. In view of the change now, where you're approaching 200 black elected officials in this state, aren't you?
Right, about 100.
Has that organization, do you think that organization is becoming or will become obsolete?
Well, I think it has a vital role to continue to play, especially because Joe has a real good Bible enrolled into the Democratic Party in Alabama, which is, you know, in its sense is within the system. So I think it has a real Bible role to play. I think that Joe Reed is to be commended for his long years of his contribution to black politics in the state. And I think he also will continue to make a great contribution in the future. And I say that out of sincerity. I'm sure his comments or his opinion of me won't be as admirable, but I don't hold thing, you know, we differ politically, our strategies and our techniques differ, but we're still, you know, still brothers as far as I'm concerned. So I think he'll continue, I think it will continue to have a great role, have a well-organized structure, though they are not, you know, not even elected officials, they have helped to get many of blacks elected. They have done much in many, many cases to win elections and turn elections around. So I think he will continue to have a role to play. I, however, don't feel that that is the sole, and I want to make it sure, make it clear, I don't feel that that is the sole spokesman for black people in the state, or that it, that that their tactics and their strategy is the only approach that blacks ought to take. I think that the Alabama Conference of Black Mayors, for example, which is made up of mayors, and then I think that the Black Caucus within the Alabama League of Municipalities, which consists of mayors and city councilmen from throughout the state. So I think that, and then you got your black legislators now who I'm sure will form a caucus of some sort.
Do you think these competing black groups merely reflect then a maturing of the political process?
Yes, maturing, yes. I don't think we're necessarily competing against each other. As I indicated,
there's a danger of that, though, isn't there?
A danger of competing against each other?
Right.
No, only when you have leaderships. The only time there's a danger of black groups competing against each other is when the leadership ceases to be concerned about the common problems facing black people in a given situation. As long as the leadership concentrates on the common problem, and long as all the organizations are trying to work in their particular way to bring about the common, to meet the common goal, I think there's no problem. But once you get somebody who goes on an ego trip as an individual, and just because somebody differs with his philosophy, then he starts competing or starts criticizing another organization or another individual, I think that's the danger. And I think that danger affects any not only blacks, whites, anybody when you got that kind of a situation. But I think that it's healthy to have several groups working towards a common goal. I think that's healthy. The more groups coming out of the more bags, all working towards a common good is better for our people. We can't ever get hung up with one spokesman or with one bag, you know. Because once that happens, folks start taking you for granted. Just like it'd be foolish to have all the black folks in the Democratic Party. I say that's nonsense. We need to have a viable two-party concept. We need to get more black folks in the Republican Party. So that, you know, just like white folks don't never lose, man, because they got as many white Democrats as Republicans. And, you know, you've got to have that kind of balance to make this system work.
Do you have any more questions? Anything you wanted to add?
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
End interview with Johnny Ford. No more transcription. This tape.